This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasothi. You've often read news about a cashier who's eaten kuih that and has passed on, someone who's ingested weed killer, who was found in the Batugaja food poisoning case. You would have heard about the Education Ministry suspending food suppliers who, you know, had glass shard noodles causing the hospitalization of 7 school children. These are just some of the food poisoning cases reported in the month of March. We have Sharvin Subramaniam of Standards Users explaining how everyone, and even children, can spot spoiled food. Welcome to the show, Sharvin. How are you today?
Thank you very much, Meera. I feel great today.
Great. Okay, maybe you can tell us what the Malaysian Association of Standards Users really is.
Okay, Malaysian Association of Standards Users is established in 2004, and we are actually representing consumer interests in the development of standards in nationally and internationally, and we advocate and also promote the safety of product and services to all the stakeholders in Malaysia, and that is some of the we are more towards standards and also consumer. You see, that's how we actually work for and how we represent consumers' interests.
Do you come under the Ministry of Health or are you independent?
We are independent. We are actually an NGO and we are affiliate of FOMCA, actually.
Okay. I was just going to ask you whether you're different from FOMCA, but you are part of FOMCA.
Affiliate of FOMCA, yes.
Sure. What are common food contaminants or causes for food poisoning in Malaysia?
All right. According to our affiliate, National Consumer Complaint Center, NCCC, they actually handles complaints. They receive complaints from the consumer, and standard users has the advantage to access this primary data. And from this, what we found is there is a lot of contaminants in terms of physical and also biological. Now, physical, we can talk about some are found screw, like say the glass shard issue that actually happened, mm-hmm. and also plastic components, tissue. Biological contamination, we can also see insect, cockroach, meat that is not cooked properly. So when it's not cooked properly, there is still bacteria contamination there.
Are you talking about products which are sold in grocery stores and supermarkets?
It's both. I'm talking on the products and also that is served in restaurants as well. It's both. So these are the complaints that we received from consumers. You know, they are displeased with what's happening to them, and they tell the displeasure to us. And, you know, trying to hope there's some resolution for these kind of complaints.
So when it comes to you, when a complaint comes to you, then what happens? What do you do with
it? This is, like I explained just now, the complaint goes to National Consumer Complaint Center, our affiliates, and they will take into, and they will be mediating the problem between the consumer and also the respondent, you know. And if the problem is not solved, we also forward the problem to Ministry of Health for further action.
Okay. Have you had much success in using that process? I mean, it gets to Ministry of Health, and then what happens?
Well, it depends on the you know, whether the consumer claims, you know, they will check, they will have their own investigation, and whether the problem is solved or the problem is resolved is it depends on the Ministry of Health and also whether the respondent has given the cooperation towards the investigation of the case.
So do you follow up on successful cases?
Well, it depends on how much number of complaints that mm-hmm. we receive, and most probably we do have success and some we do not have success. So it's not like 100% success.
Sure. So even if you get one case, you will still investigate it?
Yes, we will. We will mediate the problem first. That's how it is.
What's your view on the food safety standards in the country?
Now, I believe food safety is actually quite an important topic around the world. And Malaysian consumers is not an exception. Mm-hmm. And for the past few years, we have been bombarded with quite a lot of food scandals, you know, recalls and food safety incidents. And that required major intervention from the national and also international agencies. And if you know, food industry is quite important in Malaysia. We are importing billions of dollars from you know, import and export. And from 2010 to 2014, you know, the complaints has actually tripled.
Wow. Over the last 4 years?
Yes, it has tripled. And a significant number of the complaints is really related to the food safety incidents, and it's quite worrying. And if you also want to know the food safety standards, if you see, if you go to a restaurant right today, it has been now, the one that cooks behind is actually foreign workers.
Yes.
And, you know, they are, the language barrier is always a challenge. How do they understand food safety, hygiene? How the knowledge, transfer knowledge actually goes to them? And how do they understand about hygiene, and they practice it in the restaurant? All right? And, of course, that is one part, the business operators. But consumers also are at fault. But, you know, they go to, you know, they tak apa lah, you know, kind of like, you know, attitude, you know. But there's also a problem in terms of the grading system or criteria in the restaurants. You know, if you are, as a consumer, you have a stringent, I know I want to eat in a restaurant,
clean restaurant.
Only A.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so do that.
So the grading system is always on the counter where you pay, so it's a big A. But do you know that the criteria is actually different from the state is different. The criteria might be different. That means basically if you eat A here, maybe somewhere else the marks may be B.
Right.
Yeah, so
in another state.
Yeah, it's another state or another, you know, daira or something like that. So how does this actually help? You know, there's a lot of things you can improve in terms of food safety standards in Malaysia, and I think we have a long way to go before we can actually.
But then we're partly to be blamed, isn't it? We're complacent.
Again?
We are complacent.
Yes. A part of our mistakes is on us, but only after we actually hit by food poisoning.
Yes.
And we are going to the hospital.
I mean,
maybe
we just
then
had typhoid cases,
yes,
didn't
yes,
we?
Yes,
I mean, we've not seen typhoid cases in a long time.
Yes.
So what are the common symptoms? How do you recognize that it could be, whether it's a virus, whether it was the food that you ate? You know, how do you make that differentiation?
Okay, the common symptoms of food poisoning is basically nausea. We have diarrhea, vomit, stomach ache, excessive sweat, fever, headache. This is some of the most common symptoms of food poisoning. So if a person have this kind of symptoms, and most probably they might need to get medical treatment as soon as possible.
Are there certain foods that are at higher risk that could cause food poisoning?
High-risk foods are foods that is considered like poultry, like raw cooked meat, dairy products.
Raw cooked meat.
All okay,
right.
As long as meat, because we are looking at food that is high in protein. So because protein actually conducive for bacteria to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to avoid that as much as possible, to be exposed, you know, in a room temperature. So don't keep this kind of high risk food outside. You know, as much as possible, please keep it inside the fridge. When necessary, just take it out. All right, and seafood. Shellfish and all this are considered high-risk food. Yes.
I remember being told as a child to look out for santan. Coconut milk.
Okay.
You know, nasi lemak, don't eat in the afternoon because they've made it like probably at 6 or 5 o'clock
yes,
in the morning.
Yes, yes, yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes, unless it's refrigerated or, you know, I be kept in a higher temperature. Because the bacteria thrive between 5 to 60 degrees Celsius. So below 5 or above 60, it's not conducive. So we can keep the food longer in that terms. So like you said, it's correct. Unless nasi lemak is refrigerated or something, then yeah.
Chili bowl has always come under question.
Okay.
You always see complaints of chili bowl being contaminated.
Okay.
Have you received complaints?
Might probably have. We might have complaints about chili bowl, but I cannot confirm that.
Okay, yeah. All right. What are the signs to look out for when you're trying to choose food that are safe?
Okay. Okay. Now, we want to say how to choose food that is safe. There's two types. We want to say two ways. One is the restaurant and one is the packaged food. Now, if you see in restaurant, yes, you can see the ABC, but we also like the consumers to take their own initiative, to be more observant in their surrounding. First of all, of course, the cleanliness actually quite related to the safety of the food.
You know, I feel like walking into the kitchen sometimes, but I don't think they'll let me. Because you can't see the kitchen.
Okay.
The front portion of the restaurant looks clean.
Okay.
But then all this is going on at the back, and you don't see that.
Actually, the front part of the restaurant would give you a, a, I know it would give you a small indication. I mean, it would be a significant amount of indication saying that that restaurant is safe or not. Like, for example, is the workers, you know, whether they wear a cap, whether they wear an apron, whether they have their nails, you know, trimmed, they have must wear shoe. So that is a clear indication that the person takes care of the hygiene. You know, there are people who are actually preparing the food for you. The second of all is if you see rats, cats, you know, flies and everything, please do not consider to go to that place again, because there's high probability that you might get food poisoning. Because this kind of insects and, you know, rats and cats, they actually bring, they can transfer bacteria and, you know, parasites that can actually cause you food poisoning. Third of all, it's good to find place where actually they actually close the food that they serve. You know, the buffet
covered
style. Covered. Yes, it's closed. I mean, they have the container to close. So that is some of the few indications to see that whether the place is clean or not. Yeah, this is where you should take your, you know, your meal, your lunch, your dinner. Yeah.
What are most of the complaints that you received? You receive at the Malaysian Association of Standards Users. What type of complaints?
What type of complaints in terms of food safety?
Food safety.
Food safety. Like I said, the contaminants that I explained, that are some of the examples that we received. We had cases where they found cockroach in dal curry while eating roti canai, in juice.
Are those restaurants still there?
Restaurants are still there because it's like this. Now, unless if there's a complaint, now according to law, if a restaurant has been said that they're not clean, they came investigation, they have to be closed for a certain time or period to clean their place and make sure that then they reopen back. And they cannot do this a few times, so that means once or twice, and then, you know, you cannot repeat the offense too many times. So in that sense, as long they keep, they corrected their mistake, or they know they corrected their, they make the clean place, then it's okay. They can reopen back the restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're given a chance, actually.
It's actually by the law. It's by Ministry of Health. We actually by as an NGO, we don't have power by the so to actually execute people or, you know, prosecute people in terms of, you know, you should close the door, close a shop because you have, you know, you have make a consumer sick. You know, we can't do that.
Enforcement is always lax, right?
Okay.
We admit enforcement in Malaysia is lax in every aspect.
All right.
So do you have issues dealing with the authorities when it comes to from the time you receive a complaint and how it goes around?
We actually, as I say, we are more to mediation, actually. So we understand in terms of consumer rights. We understand the basics of consumer needs. So when the complaints comes, we try to mediate their problem with the respondent first. And then we also forward at the same time to Ministry of Health for further action because they have the power to do that. So, in terms of, like you said, you know, whether the problem is solved or not, it depends on how strong is the case is and whether the consumers actually brought in the proper evidence. You know, for example, when we consumers come, please take a picture. You know, you can't just say by word, and it's words again words, you see. So, pictures, sample of the food, you know, that kind of things. Hopefully that the consumer already made the first move to respond, and maybe respondent did not give the proper reply, then we go to Ministry
of Health. Well, I can tell you, most of us don't make complaints because otherwise you will be inundated with phone calls if we really did. I mean, it's just sometimes you just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
And that's not the best attitude to have either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more people who call you, the better for the industry and for us, really.
Yes, yes.
We should start becoming a more vocal about these issues. We're discussing food poisoning and food safety. The Malaysian Association of Standards Users falls under the umbrella of FOMCA, and they look at monitoring online shopping, drug labelling, food labelling, and we'll come back and find out a lot more with Sharvin Subramaniam up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. We're discussing food poisoning or food safety. I'm Sharvin Subramaniam, Malaysian Association of Standard Users member, is in the studio with us. We're discussing how everything you need to know about food safety. Let's talk about spoiled food, Sharvin. How do you detect spoiled food?
Now, how you detect spoiled food? As a consumer, there's three ways you can use your senses to actually detect spoiled food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. You can actually teach your children how to do it. And first of all, if you see a slimy appearance on the food, please avoid it. If it smell is a bit fall, please avoid it. And if it stays still, then please avoid it. So all these three things is actually you can teach the children because it's out of norm. You see, if you eat a bread, and then it's, one of the things is you can also look at the appearance of like bread, you know, appearance of fungus, mm-hmm. or, you know, that kind of appearance of out of norm is actually how you actually detect spoiled food. That's
how,
very simple.
How would you respond to people who just take away the fungus portion of the bread and eat the rest?
Actually, it's not safe. Actually, if you, because what we actually, because you're just taking out the portion that we actually see, mm-hmm. but what we can't see under the, you know, we need a microscope to see it. So if you eat it, you might have the high probability to get sick too. So okay. Don't.
What about sell-by dates? There's always this argument that you can consume packed food past the sell-by date.
Okay. Now, the expiry date now is actually a guide, all right, to say that the food is best. Now, after this expiry date, the manufacturer or the producer cannot guarantee its safety. Now, it all depends on the consumer, whether they can actually ingest it and whether the body can accept it. So my advice to consumer, please do not do that. Just take before the expiry date. And nowadays also you can see this, you know, supermarkets and hypermarkets taking these steps that actually they sell half price or maybe more lower price for items that actually comes to the expiry date. So maybe try to avoid that too. So hopefully that you can focus on, you know, maybe a few months before the expiry date, that would be good.
Yeah. Do you have much say in how municipal councils speak to people, market vendors, for an example, wet market vendors?
Okay.
I mean, Shavin, we have chickens sitting outside for hours. We
okay.
have seafood sitting out for hours in markets,
okay.
and it's not air conditioned.
Yeah.
Sometimes, if you're lucky, there might be some ice in it. But
yeah.
that's a huge problem as well.
Yes, yes.
This is,
yes.
As soon as you bring out meat, mm-hmm. it's starting to break down.
Okay.
Do you have much say in that?
Okay, now.
Or do you receive complaints?
Okay, now in terms of like wet markets, we advise consumers to, if they buy, to quickly go home and refrigerate it. You know, prepare, you know, cut, slice it, wash it, everything. Then you keep it in the refrigeration. Now, of course, the chicken is in the wet market or the seafood, actually perishable items, what we call it, is considered more fresh because they are brought in a day before. Or they have been, you know, they have been cleaned up early in the morning. So they are actually at the time you buy it, it's actually you need to go quickly back home and you have to pressure.
I mean, you go shopping at noon sometimes.
Okay.
I mean, the market's of course about to close by 11, 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
That meat's been sitting there for hours.
Yes, there might be high probability of contamination. That might be. But it all depends on us how we actually bring it back and then we prepare and storage it and how much we clean it. And it's also but depends on us how hygiene we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have to make sure that when we buy things like perishable items like chicken, you know, like fish, we do not cross-contaminate with the one that non-perishable at the same time. We don't want the food liquid actually, you know, because that can carry bacteria and everything, and then they can cross-contaminate with veggies or, you know, in terms of, that's why when we go to supermarket, they actually separate it, the one in the frozen or chilled food with the one that not. So it's best that if you buy at noon or something, it's probably okay, but try not to keep it out as more longer than you need to be done. You know, most probably you buy these chickens or this chilled or frozen food, maybe in the prepackaged food at the end of the shopping. Do not buy at the early part because as long as in the refrigeration, I'm talking about the frozen food, as long as in the refrigeration, it's better.
Okay, that's in the grocery
store.
Store,
yes.
That's not the wet market,
wet market.
I think we need to seriously look at our wet markets.
Yes, of course.
It doesn't make sense putting raw meat out there
mm-hmm.
For people to buy with not enough, not you know, no proper refrigeration systems in place.
But they do also have, you know, if... I have seen that they have put ice and everything, but I think you still need to do something about
it. We can do
it.
Better
it
than that,
yes,
yeah. If I have food poisoning, how do I report my case?
Well, you can complain to us at National Consumer Complaint Centre.
What
you
is
can,
the phone number?
Okay, 03-7877-9000. I repeat that again, 7877-9000. It's 03. And you can go to www.nccc.org.my, and there is a complaint which you can... there is a section where you can... lodge a complaint online, you know, right in your desktop. And we hope the most important thing, because we hope the consumers can bring some evidence as well, you know, receipts, you know, especially pictures or maybe sample of the food that actually, you know, they made you food poisoning. Or
goodness,
that,
how do you go back and get that sample?
No,
usually you eat, you go home.
No. I'm talking about packaged food. Okay. That would be good, you know. Of course, obviously, the restaurant, you can't come bring it. Bags. I mean, like, if you see a cockroach in the bread, I mean, we had that kind of complaint where they brought back sample and seen there's a cockroach in the sample in the bread. So, you know, that could actually help us to mediate them, you know, in mediating the complaints. That's what we were thinking.
Do you think our laws and regulations in the country are good enough to ensure safety and quality of food?
I believe it's comprehensive, but like you said, the enforcement needs to be up. You know, it's the enforcement is a bit lacking. At the same time, we hope that consumers are always, for me, consumers are always the best enforcers, and education and outreach need to be more, not only to urban area but also as a rural area. You know, like you said, the wet markets. Do the uncle and auntie know what is bacteria contamination? Do they know what is, you know, cross-contamination? I mean, this kind of thing, we might say that maybe Malaysian consumers they don't care about food safety, but they do care. Maybe if they understand, maybe they would feel that food safety is quite important and certain practices would actually help to reduce the food poisoning cases in Malaysia. So I think it's really important that it's both sides. One, the enforcement, and also the education and outreach should be.
Sure. You also look at online shopping.
Yes.
That's what you look after, the Malaysian Association of Standards Users.
Yes.
What part of online shopping?
No, we talk about online. We can talk about online shopping. We talk about product safety. We do also talk about in terms of how the cross border from one country to another country. And also, we also want to look into how products actually, you know, this is actually the whole standard users and everyone, in terms of how people actually understand. Because when you buy a product online, you would see some comments or you would go for the reviews. Mm-hmm. You know, if you see a lot of good reviews, then you would be more tempted to buy the product. So we look into the online reputation in terms of how reliable is this comments down there. Because manufacturers or producers can actually pay someone to go to sit in there, yeah, to up their rating of product. So this is how we are looking into, in terms of online shopping. Instead of online shopping, maybe most probably e-commerce, basically.
Okay. Yeah, okay. When you speak about expiry dates on products, mm-hmm, food products and all of that, we can do much better because sometimes I don't even see it.
Okay, you don't see it.
<Okay. laughs> Yeah. So are we working towards making expiry dates more visible or in your face?
No, we are doing a lot of advocacy in terms of food safety. We write a lot of position paper, memorandums to the Ministry of Health saying that we need to do something about food safety. And expiry date, yes, it's part of our concern. The first concern is if I'm not mistaken, 2 years back, that the expiry date food are still being sold in the supermarket. It's still being sold. That means basically if you don't check, you might buy a food that already expired. In that sense. So that was a few years back. We are not so sure how is it today. So how well is consumer actually looking into expiry dates? I mean, if you go to hypermarket, I'm not pretty sure you're going to buy 1-2 products. You're going to buy for the week. Let's say you're going to take 50. So are you going to look all the 50?
I would look at mostly the perishable stuff.
What about packaged food? Do you look at it?
No. Because you just assume that they would have
You assume, yes. Yeah. See, that's the problem there. So there also placement of the expiry date. You know, it's a bit difficult to find and everything. Yes. So most probably, I would suggest maybe it would be a standardized place where people know at which part of the product it would be there. Maybe under the name of the product or under the ingredients. So it's much more easier because now it's everywhere.
So who do you suggest to?
All right. Now, in terms of food safety in terms of food, is under the authority or purview of Ministry of Health and also the Food Safety Quality Division. And I would like to, you know, encourage them to take more action, you know, to be to enforce.
But do you have a relationship with them? Do you give them feedback, that kind of thing?
Yes, that's how we forward all the complaints to them. You know, we send the position paper memorandum. We have a lot of engagement with them. We give our feedback. And that's how we keep that relationship between us. And they accept it, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So can, in terms of, if we can play a role in improving food safety, how would you, what would be your advice to people listening?
Exercise your right, you know. Have you had food poisoning before?
Very rare.
Very rare.
But it has happened.
Have you complained before?
No, because you know what? Most of the time, I don't know what has caused it.
Yes, yes.
It could have been the restaurant food. It could have been something you had for lunch. It could have been something. Because food poisoning can present even 24 hours after.
Yes, I understand.
So then it's hard to figure out what exactly.
But you can have the doubt, right? Which kind of food actually
gave
you. Possibly. So in terms of that possibly, we will ask to exercise, right? If they have the doubt that this kind of this food actually made them sick, please go ahead and complain to NCCC or to the Ministry of Health, because with the complaint they can have, take more action. They can go to visit that place and, you know, they can check whether the place is actually, you know, contaminated or they're having a safe practices or not. And, you know, it's important for them to exercise. And of course, prevention is better than cure. Please exercise all this. Because it's very simple to see, you know, whether the place is clean or not, you know, everything. Always, of course, the distance is always a problem, you know. If you have like 5 restaurants nearby and the 5 restaurants are not clean, then you feel like,
Wow,
it's quite far. But maybe, you know, when you pack your own food, but try to avoid, because food poisoning, it can cause death. You see, it happened before in Malaysia. So this kind of it's quite severe in terms of this one. Before you actually kena, you'd be like, okay, now my mind's okay. But once you had it, then you'll be feeling, you know, you feel the pain is much more worse. So exercise your right. Prevention is better than cure. And that's what I'm asking consumers.
Sure. And make a complaint if you want.
Yeah.
That phone number again, 0378779000. Or you can just log on to nccc.org.my.
Yes,
thank you very much for joining me today. Sharvin Subramaniam from the Malaysian Association of Standards Users, talking to us about food safety on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.